Hey guys, it's Lindsay again, and I'm back with another Sunday Scaries. I'm actually really excited about this one. I will preface this by saying I couldn't really find a scary story I liked well enough that also coincided with our episode that we just did talking about our favorite horror movies. So instead, I decided that I would read you guys one of my favorite scary stories. It's one of my favorites I've ever come across on the internet, on Reddit. And honestly, I can't tell you when or how I even came across this story, but it's a series. And so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna break it up. I'll do a couple chapters of the story every Sunday until we finish it up. Please, please comment and let me know what you think about each chapter because this is one that really knocked my socks off. I mean, I don't get scared that easily, and this is one story that really genuinely spooked me out. So I'm excited to know what you guys think, and I'm excited to read it to you. It is called My Romantic Cabin Getaway. Chapter 1. My fiance and I are from California, but her family lives in Colorado and they own a cabin near Pikes Peak, way up in the mountains. After visiting them, they recommended we go stay at the cabin a few days. We're avid hikers and so we jumped at the opportunity. Colorado is very rich in Native American folk legend. Virtually every place you go used to belong to an indigenous community, and the few of them who remain keep the traditions and the stories alive. Pikes Peak is no different. There are enough stories and gift shops to give anybody the sense that the land itself is alive. I don't know if this has anything to do with what is happening, but maybe someone here is from Colorado and could help us connect the dots. Faye and I are currently at the cabin. It's day 4, and we were planning on leaving today, but things have gotten very strange around here, and it looks like we're gonna be here a little while longer. We have enough food for a winter, and the heater is in stellar order, but the Wi-Fi is terrible at best, and there's virtually no cell reception. We feel isolated. I'll try to respond to comments, but the internet dips out for hours at a time up here. The first weird thing that happened was the snow. There was no snow in the forecast, so we packed light, but on the first night here, just our luck, a blizzard pounded the whole area. My little Corolla is basically a brick of ice outside, and there's no way I'm going to try to make this 6-mile drive down the mountain to the town. I blame myself for trusting Colorado in spring. After a day, Thursday, of lovely hiking and sightseeing, some really unsettling stuff started happening. When we returned to the cabin just before dusk, we found an enormous dream catcher dangling from a tree about a dozen yards away from the back door. This wasn't the kind you're imagining, the kind you buy from a novelty shop. No, this thing was made from twigs and twine, and it's about 3 feet in diameter. Absolutely humongous. Neither Faye nor I were stupid enough to touch it. We're veteran horror movie fans, and we know that's how you get cursed. If the snow melts a bit, I'll get back out there and snap a picture of it and post it here. That night, while we were eating dinner, we heard a bunch of noises in the woods outside. Twigs crunching, leaves rustling, etc. This isn't unusual because we saw some elk and deer on our hike, but the sounds were slow and purposeful. They stopped and started and were rhythmic, like someone was casing the area in a crescent shape around the cabin. I used my bright tactical flashlight to look outside from the porch, but there was nothing. We stayed in all day on Friday and just cuddled and hung out, played some of the board games we brought and some of the Super Nintendo games they had in the cabin. Donkey Kong Country 2, I have considered stealing because it's the greatest game ever made. It snowed again, and after dark, we started hearing more noises. Around 1 a.m., Faye woke me up and told me she was hearing a voice outside. I strained to listen, and I think thought I could make out the sound of a man crying very far away, but his voice was drowned out by the wind, so I wasn't absolutely certain of what I'd heard. We went back to sleep, but again around 4:45 a.m., we heard him more distinctly and closer. He sounded like he was calling for help, but he would dip into another language that I've never heard before. We called the ranger station at the bottom of the hill using my cell phone, and they told us they'd get up there and check it out. We never saw them, and I doubt they ever came. On Saturday, shit got really scary. It snowed again in the morning, and I stopped getting service for most of the day. Faye and I watched movies and tried to Skype with her family, but that didn't work. She went to sleep early, around 8, while I did some photo editing on my laptop in the living room. She woke up crying hysterically. When I asked her what was wrong, she said she'd had a dream that she was lost in the woods outside, and something was following her. I cuddled with her until she fell back asleep, and eventually I drifted off too. Faye woke me up around 1 a.m. She was absolutely beside herself. I've never seen her so afraid in my life, and just the look on her face really unsettled me. She told me that she heard the man outside again, but she recognized the voice. She was absolutely convinced that it was her grandfather's voice and that he was wandering around outside begging for help. Faye's grandpa died when we were seniors in college 4 years ago. I told her that she was dreaming, but then I heard it too. I never met the guy, so I wouldn't recognize his voice, but it did sound different from the night before. It sounded older. I had to do everything I could to keep her from running off into the woods looking for him. Eventually, she realized that the possibility of it being him was absurd, so we put a movie on at a good volume and fell back asleep. My cell phone wouldn't connect a single call. What happened last night, Sunday, was the thing that has sent me over the edge. Essentially, the same thing happened around 1 a.m., at which point I was still awake, almost expecting the noise to happen. I heard a voice. This time it was a woman's. Thankfully, it was distant enough that it didn't wake Faye. I walked into the bathroom and cracked the window open just a tiny bit. The frosty air that came through the crack seemed like a death sentence to me as a Californian. Nobody could survive outside for long in that, not without serious military-grade winter gear. And yet, someone was wandering the fuck around out there, stepping on twigs and crying. I am a reasonable, skeptical, sometimes arrogant Agnes, but I'm telling you, the voice sounded exactly like my mother's. Now, my mom is alive and well and living in Southern California, so my brain instantly cramped at the sound of her voice out here in the Rocky Mountains. I would know my mother's voice anywhere. I think we all would. And I'm telling you, I'm about 90% sure it was hers, which is way, way too sure not to scare the shit out of me. I grabbed my light and went outside with a blanket wrapped around me and my hiking boots on. I circled the entire cabin and looked around. There was snow pushed out of the way in a big, meandering pattern that snaked in and out of the tree line like someone was drunkenly shuffling around. Maybe they were injured. The path went right up to the bathroom window and then back into the woods. Each time the voice called out, I shouted, "Mom?" Or, "Who's there?" Or, "Who are you?" And each time the voice receded further into the woods. I'm pretty certain it was trying to coax me deeper and deeper into the forest, away from the cavern. I'm still alive because I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to die like some dumbass in a bad horror movie. I went back inside and made sure we were locked down tight. Since I can't call the ranger station, I'm posting this instead. I will keep you updated. Edit. It's Monday, and we got a hold of Faye's dad. The weather's supposed to clear up tomorrow, so he's going to come pick us up in his truck and help get my car down the mountain. I'll keep you all informed. Only one more night in this place. I'll try to get some photos up. Edit. 9:30 p.m., Monday. I've been able to get online twice today. I wish I knew more about electronics, but I'm a history teacher, so I don't think I can fix the Wi-Fi or predict when it'll work. I can send and receive emails and some Reddit posts, but I can't load other websites or view photos. Faye hasn't been feeling well since noon. She developed a stomach ache and has been intermittently throwing up. We both ate the same thing, and I feel fine, so I'm not sure what it is. She sometimes gets like this when she gets worked up. Although I'm an agnost slash atheist, she is very Catholic and is pretty convinced that something supernatural is going on. No need for alarm at the moment. She does not have a fever, and I'm keeping her hydrated and in high spirits. She seems to be on the mend. She went to sleep about 1.5 hours ago. Some noises to report. Cackling, repetitive vocalizations in the forest, probably 100 yards out. The tree line starts at about 20 yards out, so this sound is coming from much deeper. Some movement spotted just behind the tree line at dusk, but it could be elk, deer, etc. Couldn't see very much, keeping all the curtains closed and windows locked. Furniture in front of the door, front door, back door, and I'm checking on Faye every half hour. Her dad will be here in the late morning to pick us up and dig my car out. Another Redditor near us pointed out that I am an idiot for not double-checking the weather. You are correct. I promise I'll provide an update as a new post tomorrow should anything significant happen. Chapter 2. I'm sorry for the delay, everyone. We're collecting ourselves. Sorry for any formatting issues. I'm writing this on my phone. Faye's dad picked us up in his truck, and he brought his buddy with him, who's now following us in my car. A lot of things happened last night. Some things I won't share because I'm not sure how to interpret them yet. I'm not even sure I understand what happened, but here are the most important things. I also managed to get some recordings, which I'll try to upload when we get home to California in a few days. I tried to stay awake last night until 1 a.m. because over the past few nights, that is the approximate time the noises change from rustling, branches cracking, to voices. Well, I didn't make it. I fell asleep on the couch with my laptop open, waiting for the Wi-Fi to come back. I think this was about 12:30 a.m. I woke up right around 1:15 a.m. to a muffled voice. In my sleepy days, I struggled to figure out where it was coming from. I thought it was just outside the living room window, so I sat there quietly trying to make the words out. It was a woman's voice and said things like,
Kudos. I can't mind. I'm not alone. Okay.
I got up and peeked out the curtains and didn't see anyone, but then the voice said,
It's my parents' house.
It's my parents' house. And I knew the voice was Faye's. As I mentioned earlier, my fiance has an undiagnosed sleep disorder and has extensive sleep talk and sometimes sleepwalks. She's had pronounced night terrors since she was a little kid. I'll post a story on that someday. I walked into the bedroom to find Faye sleeping on her tummy as usual. She didn't say anything else as I came in. But two things really disturbed me about this situation, though. The first is that she appeared to be having a conversation with someone, which is actually quite common for her, but the person she was conversing with was interrogating her, asking her questions about herself, me, the cabin, etc. Secondly, in her sleep, Faye was imitating another voice. It wasn't hers that she was speaking with. She was altering the pitch and tone to sound like a different person. My modus operandi is not to wake her up when she has sleep disturbances. There's a story behind this. Expect one someday. Instead, I gently rub her back and hair, which calms her and puts her back into a restful sleep. I did this for a few minutes, but then there was another noise off in the distance outside. I got up and walked to the window to listen, and I think this was the first time that I really felt scared enough that I felt like we were in real danger. It was a child singing in the dark. I couldn't really make out much of what they were saying, but I'm certain that it was a child. Probably ages 6 to 8, trying to sing a song. The snow had abated for a while now, and the stars were notably bright, so I could see all the way to the rim of the forest, about 20 yards out. Well, there was a figure standing there just past the first trees, back facing me, looking up at either the moon or the tops of the trees. It stood so still that I convinced myself it was a tree stump or something, and in a few minutes, it was no longer visible. My skeptical nature compels me to be reasonable and say my eyes were playing tricks on me. When I turned around, Faye was sitting straight up in bed, eyes closed. She does this a lot in her sleep. She craned her neck and said something like, "Don't let them in," or "Don't let him inside." She was still doing the weird voice, so I woke her up. Faye and I sat in the bedroom with the lights on, talking about what we should do. I tried to get online to send an email to her parents, but of course it doesn't work when you need it. We agreed to stay in the same room and try to fall back asleep. At one point, I got up to get her some water. She hadn't vomited in several hours now and was feeling a lot better. And out the kitchen window, I saw flashes of pale light. They weren't like the flashes you'd see when someone walked through the woods with a flashlight. They were more like if someone had a lantern that they could slowly turn on and off. I flicked on the porch lights to the front and side of the house, hoping that it would discourage anyone from trying to approach. But as I walked back to the bedroom, I saw the distinct outline of a person through the window curtain in the living room. They were pressed against the glass with their hands on it, trying to peer inside. Since it was dark in the living room and bright outside, I could clearly see their silhouette. I shouted and approached the window, but the person ran off before I pulled the curtain open. Faye slept soundly, but I continued to hear voices outside. Different ones, on and off all night until dawn. I wrote several of them down. I couldn't sleep, so I camped out in the living room. I kept the bedroom door open so I could hear Faye if she started talking again. The voices would go away for hours and then start back up. At one point, I fell asleep because I was awoken by the sound of a light switch flicking on and off. From the couch, I could see light from outside going on and off in patterns of 5. I can't explain why this disturbed me so much, but it did. And I imagined some kind of horrible creature standing in my house somewhere, flipping the switch up and down and smiling. My first instinct was to check on Faye, and I nearly had a heart attack when I saw that she wasn't in bed. I started calling her name and pacing around the house, looking out the windows to see if she was outside. When I looked out the kitchen window, there she was, sitting on the hood of my car about 30 feet out in the driveway. Her back was to me, and she was staring off into the forest. She was absolutely rigid, just the way she sits up in bed when she's asleep. Now, Faye has sleepwalked all over the house back in California. I found her in the kitchen and the downstairs hallway and the living room, but she's never gone outside. I shouted her name from the kitchen, but the second I did, Faye jumped off the car and dashed into the woods at full sprint. She never looked back at me. I started flipping out and screaming her name over and over. I scrambled to grab my boots to go after her, but the second I pulled the front door open, Faye called out my name from behind. She was standing in the hall looking confused, asking me what was wrong. Apparently, she'd been in the bathroom. In my masculine crusade, I'd forgotten to check there. I looked out at my car and into the forest, and honestly, the first thought that came to my mind was, "You clever motherfucker." Needless to say, we stayed up the remaining few hours until dawn, intermittently writing down the voices we heard, which faded away and became less frequent with the passage of time. I'll try to get the recordings up in a few days, but for now, here's that list of voices we heard. We recalled some of the voices from the previous nights from memory, but I just figured you'd like to know what was being said throughout the duration of this lovely cabin experience. I'll return to Colorado, but fuck Pike's Peak. Also, the question marks indicate that the words were very unclear. A man's voice, vaguely familiar, but couldn't put a face to it, over the past several nights.
Hello? Oh, God. Look at it. Look! Hello?
Desperate.
Jump! They see in the dark.
Kind of wail dramatically?
I'm lost. Watch you. Oh my.
Growled hacking sound. It reminded me of Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
It's very dark. I see those lights!
Shouted in anger.
I'll come down there!
Shouted.
Don't smile. I see you.
Could have been goat smile? A woman's voice sounded age 20-ish. This was from last night. A gasp in horror surprise over and over and over.
Lay it on the ground and burn it. Turn it.
Monotone, not melodic at all.
She talks in her sleep. She's talking to me now.
Threatening in a malicious voice. A child sounds about 6 to 8 years old, indeterminate sex from last night. Crying and whining. Occasional laughter. Singing. I'm not sure if this is actually English or if my mind's just forcing the sounds into English.
When do we go inside?
Very unusual intonation, sounded like a robot trying to mimic a child. The voice of my mother from a few nights ago.
Stop.
Laughing and joking, she has a very recognizable Bostonian accent.
Look at the windows.
Did you see it?
Voice of Faye's grandfather from a few nights ago. Lots of indiscernible groaning and calls for help.
Help. Help me.
It's something about the war.
Their body's still on the ground there. Never found them. But they're there. Right here. Oh, I'm standing in the same place. 20 years.
By the way, I forgot to check to see if that dream catcher was still there out back. You're welcome to drive out there and look for yourself, though. So those were chapters 1 and 2 from the spookiest series that I've probably ever read online, and I cannot wait to read you guys the next 2 parts. Now, there are quite a few parts in the series, so this is going to take us a few Sundays to get through, but I really enjoyed it, and I think you guys will also really enjoy it. So, it is Sunday, we got a work week ahead of us, and you know what? We got this. Go out there and freaking conquer the world, that's what I say. Don't let them Sunday scaries get you down. From this story, yes, because it is actually scary, but in general, you got this. Y'all have a great week, and stay spooky.